Welcome everyone to tonight's episode of the Brickheads podcast. I'm joined today by Mo, otherwise known on Lego TikTok as Earl Fan Builds. Mo, thank you so much for joining me today.
Jamie, I am super, super excited to be here. I love your podcast and I'm super stoked that you're having me on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. I mean, I've been trying to... The moment I met you online, for those that don't know Mo and don't know my account very much, we are both fellow Lego TikTokers. We do builds, creations, mocks, you name it, anything to do with Lego, kind of we, as the Lego community, like to cover it, like to chat about it. And then I found Mo very early in my Lego sort of journey on social media, and he's been a massive inspiration for me to kind of grow my account, be myself, be who I am, but keep Lego at the heart of what I do. And if you already follow Mo, you will see he is not a character. He is himself through and through. He's very honest. And people love, I keep referring to you as the third person, but people love him for that. In the lives, you've got such a loyal following. And it's your true credit to the TikTok community, but also Instagram, YouTube, your podcast as well that you have. And I just want to kind of just hand over to you just to basically tell us who you are, what you do for those that may not follow you already. Where did it all begin? What was your journey?
Well, okay. So first off, I just have to say that that was the nicest and kindest introduction I have ever heard. Thank you so much for those kind words, man. You know, for me, Lego started, you know, AFALS, adult fans of Lego, we tend to have this very similar stories, right? We get our first Lego set when we are young, we fall in love with it, we build as many sets as we can get our hands on, and then we go into the dark ages, right?
Yeah.
And that's when we get rid of the sets that we all wish that we had kept. My story is not any different than that. Except in the midst of my dark ages, I had a nephew, and my sister gave birth to this absolutely beautiful, wonderful little boy, who was super interested in Lego, but kind of just all things Uncle Mo, you know, like, at that time I was on, I was working on an ambulance, and then he wanted to be a firefighter, and I had bought him a Lego set, and, you know, of course he just became infatuated with it. So, I started coming back fairly early. So I had stopped using and playing with Lego at about maybe 15, 16, mm-hmm. and then picked it back up with him at about 1920. So, you know, there was only about 4 or 5 years where Lego wasn't in my life. But you know, the thing is that little boy went through the same thing, and he wound up going into his dark ages. So then I kind of went back into my dark ages too. Like, I had used Lego at that point as a tool to bond with my nephew. And when he was out of it, I kind of let that lapse again. And so, unfortunately, in 2019, he passed away at the age of 18. And so, you know, that really affected me, really affected my family.
Of course.
And then Christmas 2020, my wife made the comment that I should try it again, you know, pick it back up. Because during the pandemic, you know, I think we all experienced some sort of gripping anxiety and depression, you know, being stuck inside and not really having much to do. So she got me my first adult Lego set, which was, you know, just one of the like $15 Iron Man mechs. It wasn't even a Hulkbuster. It was one of the mechs. Yeah. And Christmas night, I was all by myself. My kids had gone to bed. My wife had gone to bed. And I just sat up on Christmas night and I built it. And I just, you know, I felt like I got to reconnect with my nephew. I felt like my anxiety and depression were going away with every single click of the bricks. And I was like, okay, this is cool. So I woke my wife up at like 6 o'clock the day after Christmas, and with this kind of like, listen, this is what happened to me. This is what I'm experiencing. Like, and she said, I bet other people would experience that too. So we went out and we got a couple other sets, and that was how I started my TikTok. Originally my daughters were really, really involved in the channel, but then, you know, for not so great reasons, we had to separate them from the channel just because there were some really terrible comments being made on videos and lives about them.
Social media, I can understand why you would want to keep family and that mark, that community separate. And so, yeah, totally. We understand in terms of protecting your family. And I know people that have the same, they build with their children, but it's very separate to the social media platform.
Yeah. I will, because they are so into it, you know, to them, this is just the coolest thing, the podcast and the TikTok, and, you know, they've got friends at school who recognize me, you know, so for them, I think for them, it's more exciting. So they really want to get back in. So we do a couple builds here and there where I will let them, you know, review the builds and, So it's cool. One of them is really into Minecraft, and so we're kind of picking up a bunch of Minecraft sets for her to build off camera, but then review as we do, you know, B-roll shots of them.
Nice. It still makes them feel involved, even like they are as much as possible, but they are part of that journey and part of. I don't want to call you a brand because you're not a brand, but that Earl fam community that you have created so well. And it kind of leads me to my next question. So obviously, like, your fan base is amazing. Like, they're so passionate and so loyal to you as a person, as a creator. When did you really start to notice that when you went like, obviously 1,000 views, you can go live on TikTok. was it a quick process? Was it a slow burner? When did you really start to feel you're creating this real community of people?
Well, I'll say this. We didn't really have a period of time. Like, I'm trying to say this without sounding like I'm fluffing myself up. So please forgive me.
The fluff, honestly, it's like you work so hard. You big yourself up as much as you need to. That's why we're here today. So, don't feel you're being over modest.
Well, okay, so we didn't ever have the period of time before 1,000 views, really. It was maybe a couple hours. We started, for instance, the first couple nights of building were like 20,000, 30,000 followers. We started with the Harry Potter Hogwarts set, and from there it was just like literally overnight, my wife was like, hey, you know, you have 15,000 followers. And I was like, what is this? But then I wasn't aware of what a live, I'm so ashamed to even admit this. I wasn't even aware what a live was. I signed up for TikTok because my wife wanted to show me funny videos. And then when this all started, it was like, what do I do with a live, you know, video? So I didn't use my ability to go live for a little while. I think 30,000 or 50,000 was when we started going live. And I did a couple, they were kind of weird. I wasn't really into it. And I had some pretty deep questions at that time about like what I believe in, like a purpose. And so I was really searching and grappling for what the purpose was behind all of this. Mm-hmm. And on my live, I had a woman who just started saying how depressed she was. She said, you know, when you talked about your depression, because I only talked about it at the first video was all that I really talked about with like depression, anxiety. Yeah. And she was like, you saying that and showing me this really helped me cope. And she's like, now I've bought, you know, 200 Legos, you know, and I just, I don't know what it was, whether it was something in the water or what. And I just started going, listen, I remember her name. I don't see her on TikTok as often, but her username was JMac. And I remember going, listen, JMac, you are worthy. You are important. You are incredible. You're here for a reason. Like, I just started, you know, like speaking life into this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know how it is when you're on live, it's like, you know, 10 views, 15 views. And then all of a sudden, when I started doing that to her, it was like at one point we had like 7,000 people on the live.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, at this point, I'm still at about 30,000 followers. So I'm like, this is a third of my followers, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just started going hardcore into this. And, you know, she was just so impacted, I think. And so from that point, I was like, maybe, you know what? Maybe this really isn't about Lego at all. Maybe Lego is just the thing that, you know, connects us together. But maybe this is really about encouraging people and making connections with human beings. Because I'll tell you this, I love Lego. I build probably 30 sets a month. But I'm passionate about human connection. I'm not necessarily passionate about Lego. And so I just kept doing that. And then it was probably 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a message from another user who I had done something similar to. And she said, hey, listen, I was going to do something really stupid tonight and you really helped me. And I'm sorry, I'm getting all worked up over this. And I said, you know, listen, I did the same thing. You're worthy. I went through all that. But then 2 days later, she messaged me back, the most terrifying moment in my adult life. She said, you know, it's not your fault, but I can't keep going. And I mean, I still get choked up about this. So I called the police. I said, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to go off of here. Can you, you know, here's her username. There's no fan mail box. You know, she had like 4 followers, you know, and they kind of passed it off as like, look, we're going to do our best. I don't know. And then I get a call back from a neighboring county who said they located her off of a piece of mail on her, in one of her videos, on the desk in one of her videos.
Wow.
And she messaged me back later that night and she said, I had taken a bunch of pills and the police showed up and I really appreciate you. And me and her, we talk to this day. And so that was kind of the moment where I was like, dude, this is something way bigger than what has been created here.
It's not just Lego at this point. There is people and it's a community of help now.
Right. And I think when that becomes the focus, that Lego is just the thing that we sit down, you know, like you hear about this all the time with like D&D groups where they'll go and they'll play like Dungeons and Dragons, but you know, it's really about the friendship and the connection that you get with those people. Once that became the focus of the channel, it was off to the races. And we have some of, and that's why we never use the word fan. We hardly ever use the word follower. Like everybody on the channel is family.
Yeah.
And that's how we treat them, you know? So when we refer to like the Earl fam or Earl fam builds, it is not the 4 people in this house.
It's I mean, my channel is no way near on the level of the help and the personal side that yours is, but that the reason that I started my Lego journey was all about learning. And even in the Lego Academy, which I run, we never say Lego is it's not a cure, it's not a tool, it's not it's not going to solve your problems. Lego is there to engage with children because they already like Lego. But then what we're challenging teachers to do and families and home educators is use Lego in a way to engage with learning. Now, obviously, it's a complete opposite side of the coin from what you guys do. But again, I am a Lego fan, but I don't just do Lego. I talk about robotics, I talk about the power of engineering, communication, teamwork, family time, and that's what Lego can do. And as you mentioned, Lego is there as a bond. It brings people together, but then what you then create is the memories and that family, which you have done so amazingly well. And it kind of leads me on to like, that is an incredibly proud moment for you. Would you say that's probably one of your proudest moments of your journey? Because obviously, for those that follow you, we've seen so much of your charity work of Lego Santa, Caldor Fires. Would you mind talking us through that part of your life and kind of how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean to what the proudest moment of the proudest moment is actually kind of a tricky one for me because there is one thing that there's one thing that stands out. And I don't know how much I guess I can say as much as I can. We had an opportunity to really corporatize the experience. And it would have led to a lot of financial help. And it would have meant that we had to change the entire experience. We couldn't talk about faith. We couldn't talk, you know, a lot of, we couldn't pray for people. We couldn't, with it, there was a bunch of things that we could not say about mental health. And I had to sport this one company's logo. Like it really would have corporatized the entire experience, at great personal gain, you know? And I kind of, we made a decision to not do that. And I woke up in just cold sweats after that decision was made because it really would have helped us. And I just remember feeling like so at peace with the fact that we decided to go that route because I think I have found what this is for, and it is not for that, you know? So yeah, that was the proudest moment, was standing up in the face of this kind of temptation and going, no, that this isn't what this is for. So I think that was a big thing. And then the Caldor Fire Santa thing was I don't know, I don't even know. There's no romance. I'm sorry, I keep getting a notification. There was no romantic beginning to this.
It
The fire caught, and I remember sitting at home going, you know, I have a history with the fire department. My father has been a fire chief my entire life. I worked on the ambulance for 7 years. And when a fire like that breaks out in your backyard, I mean, this thing went over 100,000 acres, less than a mile away from my house. Or I should say that my family's house. Me and Lindsay live away from that location by about 10 miles, but still, my family's house, the place I grew up, is less than a mile away from where this fire starts. And I can't do anything. I can't suit up. It's not like I can go back and be like, "Hey guys, I want to jump back on and help." Like that's not an option for me, right? It's just not how things work. So I was like, "How can I help here?" Like, can we hand out water? And then I kind of sometimes forget about my following, you know, when I'm not building or I'm not on the live or I'm not making videos, it's kind of in the back of my head. And so Lindsay was like, why don't you put out there that, you know, help is needed? And so I made a couple of videos and I was like, okay, like, let's try. And the first thing that happened was somebody donated a pallet of water. And I was like, I don't know what to do with a pallet of water. I drive a Honda Accord. Like, I can't fit a pallet of water in anything. So they dropped the pallet of water off, and I was like, okay, how do I how do I do this? And Louis, wonderful, absolutely wonderful guy, who is my only friend around here who is involved in TikTok. He's like, yeah, I'll come up and help. And so he came up and he's like, why, you know, why don't we try and you know, bring toys or whatever to these kids? And it was funny because when he said it, I don't even think that I heard it, because that's not when we decided to do it. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll figure out water. You know? Yeah. And then my dad, I was on the phone with my dad that night, and I was like, logistically, I'm trying to figure out how to do all of this water. And I think a lot of times we focus on the problem so much that we forget to take a step back and notice the like what's actually in front of us. Cause then my dad said, you know, I just feel bad for these kids. There's thousands of kids who are, you know, who aren't, they're displaced. They don't have anything. They're sleeping in tents. They don't know where their stuff is. And he mentioned that, he's like, I bet a lot of those kids watch you. And I was like, oh, whoa, wait, hang on. There's a way to bridge this gap here. And so I went in and I looked at, I just took an inventory of my backlog, which was embarrassingly large. And so I was like, I have all these sets that I'm not going to build, or at least I'm not building right now. And they can bring these kids the same tool that I had last Christmas. They can take care of that fear and anxiety and depression through the same means. And so I gathered them all up. And then the funny thing was that the first day, if you go back and look at the pictures, the first day I go out in like shorts and a t-shirt, you know, like right now the kind of iconic image is me in that Santa costume and, you know, but I didn't even have that. It hadn't connected yet. And so we go out and we go to this church where there's hundreds of kids who are displaced, and we didn't even call ahead. We brought them water, and I was like, hey, I've got a bunch of toys. And no one had heard of me. No one knew of the channel or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were like, okay, who's this weird guy who wants to like hand out toys? So they like talked to their pastor, and they're like, well, I guess he's also got water, so that makes sense. And so I went up and we brought in the water, and he's like, yeah, you can hand out some toys, I guess. And when I came in, the kids just like lost it. Between seeing me on TikTok and a lot of them had followed our YouTube too. That was like the main place where they, because I remember some parents being like, oh, well, we don't really let them watch YouTube or TikTok, so they follow you on YouTube. And that was, it was just so magical that first day. And some lady, we left, and just, I'm crying, the kids are crying, this lady is crying. And she's like, you're like the Caldor Fire Santa. And I was like, oh man. And that just, it hit me so hard. And I play Santa as like a side job in the month of December. Mm-hmm. So I have a Santa costume at home, and I'm like, let's do this. We're gonna go all out. And so then we decided to take everything that, because I hadn't spent anything that our TikTok had made. So at this point, over the last 6-8 months, our TikTok had made, you know, about $5,000 that was just sitting in TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so we cashed it out, and I went to that Lego store and I just went nuts. and I made the decision to go live while I was doing that. And it was interesting. It was an interesting live because I've never been on the run taking somebody live with me, and I couldn't read the comments. So Lindsay was there kind of reading the comments for me the best she could, but she was like, honey, there's like 10,000 people in the live and they all want to know what you're doing. And so I started explaining, and then people were like, if we send you live gifts, will you get more? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So they started to just drop live gifts, and we went back out with a much larger load of water and toys. And somebody said, oh, here comes Santa on another smile run. Like that was their post. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect.
So
I put on Facebook, I said, hey, where is everybody? Because the thing that a lot of people don't understand about these fires is that it wasn't like everyone went to one place when they were displaced. Because of a lot of weird political loopholes and stuff, FEMA didn't get involved with this fire until way late in the game. Mm-hmm. So there were literally people sleeping at gas stations, people sleeping at Walmart, people. I mean, there was up here, it looked like a third world country for a little bit, because there was, you know, National Guard trucks everywhere, people sleeping on the floor. There's tents literally everywhere. People opening up their homes for firefighters. And I mean, it was crazy. So I put out there, said, hey, where is one place that everyone is? And I got a couple locations. And so I went back out and we delivered that $5,000. And then, you know, for me, I'm like, okay, that was a really cool thing. This is probably, that's probably it, right? And then I got a call from Good Day, the news program. There's a big news program in the U.S. called Good Day. And they wanted to do a segment on me. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool. So we're on, I decided to put up a little donation page on there and on our website, which is earlfam.com. And we had just built the site, just put the donation widget on, and I go on Good Day, and halfway through my spot on Good Day, which I was so nervous for, I don't know why, but I was so nervous. Halfway through my spot on Good Day, they come back and say, hey, your website is crashing. And I looked, and there was like another $2,000 or $3,000 that was donated.
Wow.
So we went in and we're like, okay, we're going to go. And, you know, sometimes you just step out in faith. So we went out back to the Lego store. We had about $2,000 this time. And we wound up ringing up for about $5,000. And Lindsay was like, are we covering the rest of this? And I was just like, we're on live. I'm not going to not do it. So we wound up going over budget by about $3,000, just going like, okay, is this going to be okay? And the community responded to hearing that conversation by like, listen, we're going to go way above that. So then like another like $7,000 came in. And it didn't stop. It just felt like it didn't stop until everyone went home. And so finally it kind of crescendoed on this really cool event where there was hundreds of kids at one location, and it was kind of a park barbecue sort of situation. And we went out there with a whole team. There was like five or six people with us. And we handed out, the last one was probably close to $8,000 or $9,000, just were, you know, all these new toys. And so we handed out all those. We got Lego and Pop It because honestly, it got to a point where we showed up at the Lego store and they were like, listen, we love you. We love what you're doing, but you're completely wiping us out. Like, we don't have. They're like, I don't want to say this, but you can only take one of each set. And we're like, oh no, what do we do? So at one point, we completely wiped out our local Walmart. There was no Lego on the shelf anymore at that Walmart. Yeah, it was. So by the end of this event, we wind up dropping around probably $30,000 worth of just Lego, and an additional probably, I want to say maybe $2,000 or $3,000 in Pop-Its. Yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, and this is what I try and make my message about is like, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, you have something that you can do to help make this world a better place. And if you just dive into that, if everybody was just like, look, here's what I do. I write poetry. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a poem for this random lady on the bus. You know, the problem comes is when we don't value our own work, right? So like you're not going to do that because you don't value your own poetry. I really struggled with going, I have something to give to this world, and it's this message of using Lego for mental health. And when I decided to believe in that and step into that, it was like a week before the fires happened. And I, you know, if I hadn't had that realization, I don't know if I would have been out there doing that. Cause it's kind of nerve-wracking to show up and go, hey, I have all of these gifts to give all these children, you know? And a lot of people look at you like, who are you? You know?
Yeah.
And thank God the kids got it, you know? My message has always just been you're important. You have great, incredible purpose, and whatever we got to do, let's get you to step into that.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal story. Cause I knew part of that story, but I think the issue with TikTok is if you follow an account, you're not going to see every single video.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully if people listen to this podcast, they will suddenly see that story in a much bigger light, because I hadn't realized the sheer amount that was donated. I knew you'd given a lot away, but I just had no idea that it was in the thousands of dollars. Roughly, on top of your head, any idea of how many sets that equated to?
I mean, I would say probably somewhere between 700 or 800 sets. Because you got to remember, we gave away, the smallest of the sets were in the $80-$90 range.
So full time creator.
I think one of the smaller sets that we gave away a lot of was we gave away a ton of the Creator 3-in-1 spaceships. We gave away a ton of the Creator 3-in-1 carousels. We gave away a ton of Winnie the Poohs. We gave away a ton of the bigger Minecrafts. I mean, we gave away X-Wings and, you know, we did get a couple smaller sets, like especially in the beginning when we weren't sure what the response was going to be. We got some of the battle packs, like we got a couple 501st battle packs and, you know, that type of stuff. But, a lot of brickheads. So I guess the problem is I couldn't even try and guess how many. We took SUVs full of Lego, like just full of Lego. In fact, the second or third news story, I think it was the ABC news story, They were like, can you just do the news story from inside your car? So we popped the hatch of we have a Honda Pilot. We popped the hatch of our Honda and we sat in the back, and I'm just covered from head to toe in Lego. Like it was crazy. So yeah, I think, and you know, that honestly, that was a part of the magic, was pulling up and opening up that hatch and the kids going, oh my gosh, what is all this?
Yeah, it's so cool.
So yeah, it was really cool.
And what's amazing is it hasn't changed your account, it hasn't changed your content or you as a person, because you may find that sometimes if people do a really generous act like that, they start getting a little bit high and mighty, thinking I'm a better person and I've done this. Because
totally, yeah.
And it hasn't for you at all. Do you find that did your audience change at all? Like the old fam on your account, or have they kind of, you just grown more of the same type of people, or did you notice a type of change?
Well, the biggest change was that the following became localized. So we got another 100+ thousand followers from California, where I live. So that was the biggest thing. We have been a huge international account. So only if you look at our stats, only about 50% of our following is actually in the US.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the rest is all over the place. But then when you go even more granular, only about 1-2% was from California. So really not a lot of people knew about us here in California. That changed pretty abruptly during the Caldor Fire Santa stuff. We got followers. Now it's probably a good 20% of our followers are just Californians.
Fantastic. It's so good to hear that. But they're now supporting you as a local, like a local hero. Like, you came in at a time of need with positivity, and you came in with help from a much bigger community. Yeah. And now you're part of their community. It's like they'd never heard of you before, but doing this selfless act, it's like, welcome. Like, you are part of what we are as a state, which is fantastic.
Yeah. It's a blessing in a million and a half ways, but it's also kind of, I don't know. It's a different experience completely. 'Cause now it's like, you know, I'll be out at lunch with my wife and someone will come up and want to talk in the middle of that lunch. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this is weird. Or we've started carrying around 10 or so little sets in the car with us, because kids will come up now and they'll be like, hey, I saw you did this really cool thing. Do you have any Lego? And it's like, actually I do, you know? So, but yeah, there's a whole training period for becoming localized, which I was not prepared for.
Yeah. And knowing also, I suppose with that, it's like knowing when to say no to children like that must be really difficult, because if they've seen that someone's got some Lego because of a really traumatic event that's happened to them, some children may get complacent and go, well, you've done it once. Yeah. Can I get it again? So have you had that yet? Have you had parents try and play upon the nature of your channel yet? Or have you been quite lucky and you haven't had any experience negatively?
You know, I'll say this. I believe that every person and everybody who I connect with is a real person. And I have a lot of grace in that. So if somebody comes up and tries to take advantage of us, which they have, we, if it's at all possible, will still give to them. Because the truth is like, I cannot possibly know. Like those kids in the fire, I knew had been displaced. I knew that there was a necessity there. I don't know if someone is coming up to me to take advantage because they can't afford Christmas presents for their kids. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a percentage of people who just do because they want to be, you know, whatever, but I can't under good conscience decipher those who are in true need and are afraid or embarrassed to ask for help, and those who are taking advantage. So we just always assume that everybody is in true need. And, you know, thank God it hasn't happened yet. But if there ever comes a time where we don't have anything to give, then that's just the truth. We don't have anything to give. But but while we have stuff to give, whether it's money, time, resources, or gifts, you know, I believe that we have been given those things so that we can give them to other people. So yeah, I try not to get too far into the judgment of, are they doing this for a valid reason or not? Cause I think they're all valid reasons, even if we're afraid to say it.
And again, it just shows the nature of who you are as a person. It's that there's no judgment. It's, if you feel you need to ask, then I will give. And it's a real credit to you, because I know I'm a little bit of a cynic with people, because I have been taken advantage of in the past and I found out the heart. And that's pure. And it's something that's going to be with me for a long time, because I've had it happen. But I try my best to always look at people with a level playing field, just like you do. It's like, if you're asking for help, you'll need it. So I really applaud you, and I'm really like inspired by you for that through everything that you've done and been through, and the fact that you may have had issues, you still decide to live, which is phenomenal.
You know, in fear of going maybe a little too deep, and I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly, but there was a time in my life with my kids and my wife where I was trying to become a filmmaker, and I had put everything that I possibly could into trying to be a filmmaker. And we wound up being homeless. We lived in an RV, and there was a lot of times where I was afraid to ask for help, and I didn't, and we suffered for it. And so I kind of, every time someone comes up to me, I'm taken back to that spot, the cold nights sitting, you know, in a 150-foot living space with two kids and a wife. Like that for me, that those moments where I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for somebody to help us. And you know, there were those who did. And I just remember I had a moment where I was like, I'm going to be that guy. I don't know how I'm going to get us out of this, but I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be the person that when people pray that someone shows up, I'm going to be the guy who shows up, because they did that for me. Because those people gave me hope in that dark situation, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks. And it's funny because then you're like, okay, but how do I do that? And, you know, we climbed out of that hole and we made things work and we got into a regular living life. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, it was probably 4 or 5 years later, but you know, then the TikTok comes along and all of a sudden I have this place where I can help people who are in need. Yeah. So I get it. I get being afraid to ask for help. It's not a fun place to be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's why it's why I do the fundraising for Movember, hence the disgusting mustache at the moment, but it's like,
it's beautiful, my friend.
But not to go into too personal reasons, but there's been a lot of issues with men's health in my family where people have refused to ask for help and really struggled with it and really been on a dark place. So for stuff that you're doing where it's just, if you need help, ask for it. And I'm a massive advocate for that, as long as it's coming from a place of honesty and truth. And and it's kind of, I could talk about that for hours in terms of...
Yeah, me too.
But let's bring it slightly back to like the social media side and kind of what people probably know you for more at face value. In terms for kind of what has happened on your journey, obviously I was generally so upset for you guys when obviously you lost your job with the marketing team that you were working with.
Yeah.
And I was in your lives that night. I don't know if it happened just a few days before, but you could really see you were struggling, and you could really tell that was when you needed the family to come together and just give you some positivity and give you some hope.
Totally.
What was that moment of kind of, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to try something new, that kind of led into your new ventures? Obviously now you're doing the bath bombs and the scented candles. Yeah. All that sort of stuff. What was that inspired by? Was it conversations with people? Was it something you spoke about totally. With the family? How did that come about?
Well, you know, I think that the ingenuity is bred from necessity, right? and so I remember on that specific night, there was a bunch of questions of like, you know, what does tomorrow look like?
Yeah.
And still, honestly, there's all those same questions. What does tomorrow look like? But we had this conversation come up about why Lego was so therapeutic. And the truth is that anything that you do in your life, as long as it's healthy, the more senses that it takes up, the more therapeutic it is. It's called immersion therapy. And so Lego is so highly, highly therapeutic because it one, it unlocks both your left and your right side of your brain. which is highly unique for a toy. Most toys will only unlock one or the other. You think about like the STEM toys, or you think about like a lightsaber, like they very specifically only open up one side of the logical side or the artistic side. Lego happens to be something that opens up both sides. So it unlocks both sides of the brain. It also utilizes your sense of feel, right? While you're building, it utilizes your sense of sight while you are building, and it totally involves your sense of hearing. That's why like Lego ASMR is so big. And then I thought, how cool would it be if we could get one more scent in there, or one more sense in there by incorporating the scent. So we had this idea, we were building the Winnie the Pooh set, and we were like, okay, what if we were building this set, which, you know, you build a Winnie the Pooh's home inside of an oak tree. What if we created a candle that smelled like oak and honey, so that while you're building this, it kind of helps immerse you even more into that build. Mm-hmm. People, they loved it. They loved that concept so much. But you know, you're kind of limited with Winnie the Pooh there, right? There's one Winnie the Pooh set. So we were like, what's a theme that we can really dig our nails into and explore in this sort of way? And it was Harry Potter. And we were like, oh my gosh, you could create all of these very unique scents, that people could build and light these candles and kind of immerse themselves in this build. So we did, the first ones that we did was, you did the restricted section, which kind of smells like a library.
Yeah.
And smoke and leather. And then we did butterbeer, which we actually wound up getting spoiler alert, you can't use butterbeer. That is a trademark thing. So we got hit with a cease and desist on that. And so we changed it. Yeah, we changed it. We made really sure not to say like, these are Harry Potter candles. Yeah. Like, you can't say that. But we were like, wizard inspired butterbeer candle. And they're like, nope, can't.
Young boy with a scar set.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we changed that to buttered beer, and we sold 2 packs of those. And that was the first time we were like, okay, wow, I can make what I made in a month off of a couple good lives with one really good product. And so that kind of, we were like, okay, let's do more candles. We're going to do more candles. And then I found this out because we're brand new at this. Never, ever, ever try to be a candle maker in the holiday season, because you just can't get product. So we were like, okay, we can't get wicks. We can't get, you know, container jars. This is hard. So we decided to do wax melts in the interim, that were shaped like Lego. So we had little Lego pieces. We had little minifigs made out of wax. And we're like, okay, this is really cool. So people bought those up, and then we took everything that we we had, and we invested that into purchasing the stuff to make the candles and just praying that they would show up. They did show up. So they wound up getting here, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Meanwhile, we kind of out of necessity again, we're out of wax melts, we're waiting for the candles to show up. What can we do? So we bought a bunch of stickers, and people started buying the stickers. And we had an incredible follower who was like, I had just put it out there. I was like, you know, I'm really thinking about trying to get a Cricut vinyl cutting machine so we can make our own stickers. And he bought it for us. He bought us the Cricut machine. Wow. So yeah. Which was absolutely amazing. Oh, so yeah. So then we're like, okay, so we've got the Cricut machine. The candle stuff had arrived. So we're a full-blown like merch shop now with Lego scented candles, Lego scented wax mounts. We have Lego vinyl tumblers, which say like master builder. And we've done Lego TikToker customized mugs with your username on them. And then we wound up doing Lego Haul canvas bags. You know, they're yellow like the Lego brand, but they're really sturdy canvas, and they say Lego Haul on them. Which, you know, I'm sure we're gonna get hit with another cease and desist, but.
Right, until you know, keep doing it.
Yeah, I'm an ask for forgiveness guy. So yeah, and it's kind of been, now to be completely transparent, I am gonna go back to work for probably another marketing team in January. So I think that's where we're headed. Because while sales have been good, we kind of sat down and looked at things, and this is probably because of the holidays. People are preparing for Christmas, they're buying a lot more. So while we're making enough right now, I don't know if that will carry on. So, and you know, like I said, being in that place where I had made decisions in our life that put us in that spot of being homeless, my boundary is I won't ever do that again. So I will always make sure that we're stable, even if that means that I have to go back and get another job, you know. But right now it's been amazing.
Fabulous. No, it's amazing. As I said, I absolutely love your story. I love you as a person. It's just,
I love you too, man.
When you come up on my live, regardless if it's 6 o'clock in the morning here in Bulgaria, I try and watch it for as long as possible before falling back to sleep. With the time differences, it's just so difficult to catch each other, but it's been great. And I would love to finish today's podcast with a new section of this podcast, which is questions from the community. I was on my live earlier, and these are all fresh out of the community's mouth. So some of them are a bit more Lego focused, some of them are more about you. Okay. So I will call out people, give them a little shout out on the account as well. So let's run through as many as possible. And then whilst we're asking these questions, I want to introduce a new interactive section where you ask the community some questions. So on the next podcast I do, I will then read out their questions, their answers from your question.
I love that.
Have a little think about them, and then I will just blast through these. That's quick fire round. They're all quite simple questions. So
question
one comes from Pretty Good Cod Clips, and he asks, what is your favorite Lego set so far of 2021?
Hands down, the police station. It is not just my favorite of 2021, but that the creator expert modular series police station is in my top three sets of all time. I love that set. Yeah.
He also asks, what's your favorite minifigure series?
Harry Potter. I really love the Harry Potter CMFs. Although I will say this, I begged Lego for years to do a legit Marvel CMF, and they gave me that this year. I would have liked to see more classic characters. If there were more classic characters and not just the Disney Plus characters, it would have been the Marvel. But yeah, the Harry Potter, specifically the series 2 Harry Potter that they just put out, I really love those.
And then favorite minifigure from that series, what would you say it is?
I think it's the Luna Lovegood with the lion head. Love that one. Such a cool minifigure.
I love the season 1 Newt Scamander. I just love the fact he's got a little bone buckle and his little bone coat. It's like, it's such a good print. I love it.
Also, I'm looking at my collection right now, and I also really love James and Lily Potter, especially Lily. They're accessories, you know. Lily has the baby Harry, and then James has the picture of Lily and James. I really love those two.
Nice. Final question from Pretty Good Cod Clips is, what's your favorite Lego video game that you've played?
I don't know if I can. Okay, so I have been given the opportunity to play a little bit of beta of the Star Wars saga. That one is going to be great when it comes out.
First person, that one. Am I right, or
what was the question?
A first person shooter style, the new Star Wars one.
There is. The option for first, a good portion of the game is, but it's not all like that. But I would say probably, really, I'm one of the few people, a lot of people didn't receive this game very well, but I love the Lego World.
Ah, interesting. I've never played it.
It's great because you can unlock sets. For instance, one of the early sets that you unlock is the police station, and then you can walk around inside the police station. Yeah, I really love that game. I wish it got a better reception because I'm pretty sure they're killing the title.
Yeah. So I think all I saw in the community was it's a Minecraft skin with Lego. And I was like, I just never really got into it myself. But yeah,
it is a Minecraft skin for Lego, but they give you individual Lego pieces, not just square blocks. So you get to choose from the pieces that you've discovered what piece you want to build with. And I really like that.
Yeah, it gives it that little customization, which is quite nice and unique for every player. Cool. Right. This question's from Mr. P. Panda. What is your all-time favorite Lego set?
So, this is the first time I'm officially changing my answer. It has traditionally been the UCS Millennium Falcon. Then that did change to the 2021 Police Station for a little while. My favorite set, and I keep coming back to it because it's the set that I pick up the most. If I'm looking back at my collection, I will go and pick it up and play with it still to this day, is the UCS X-Wing. The Red 5 X-Wing, it is such a good, just a fun set. It's perfectly swooshable. It's big and detailed, but not super heavy. And it was just a blast to build. So yeah, I think the UCS X-Wing.
Nice. And then on the flip side, he also asked, what's been your least favorite Lego set to build?
The 2021 Y-Wing. I hate the Y-Wing. It is so fragile. It's got a cool little bomber play feature in it, but I don't think it's worth its weight. It's every time somebody asks me that question, I immediately go to that set.
Y-Wing. Nice. Okay, so we're going to drift away from Lego. We will come back to Lego in a second, but a question from Darth P. Coon is, who is your favorite Jedi Master?
You know, people, here's the thing. My answer is very, very simple. It is and has always been and will always be Luke. But I now know that I'm stepping in way more into the Star Wars community. And I understand that answer is not really that accepted. A lot of people have very deep feelings for their favorite Jedi Master. So I will say mine is Luke, but that is not to say anything against anyone else's favorite Jedi Master.
Nice. And then question from Y-Doc_8. Who's your favorite Sith?
Oh, I love Y-Doc. Huge shout out to Y-Doc. He's amazing.
Y-Doc. He's great. And I got really confused by his name. I was like, what's your actual name? He was like, it's quite simple, really. I was like, I don't understand. It's Cody. I was like,
oh Y-Doc. I didn't know that. I love that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so favorite Sith is what he asks.
My favorite Sith is a much deeper question. My favorite Sith would probably have to be I would have to go, man, this is hard. I love the sisters, the Lost Sisters or whatever they're called. Love them, love their characters, love their plot on Mandalore, love all that. That whole storyline really got to me. I love Darth Maul until Clone Wars. Really loved Darth Maul until Clone Wars. I didn't feel like we needed more Darth Maul. I was so happy with this like really dark, shadowy, evil figure. And then when we got a backstory to him, I was like, no, I didn't need that. But I think my answer has to be Vader. I mean, he to me was the only one who felt Sith. You know, while he's bad, he's really bad, you know? And he's just such an iconic Sith character, an iconic film villain.
Yeah.
Like in the history of film. So I would have to ultimately go with Vader, but I do love a lot of the Sith characters.
Nice. Question from Deck Boy. Favorite Ninjago character?
So this is where I'm probably going to lose a lot of followers. I don't know anything about Ninjago. I don't know. I think, is his name Lloyd? No. Who is his name?
Lloyd is the green guy. So Lloyd is what they call him in the movie.
And then like Garmond, Grandmaster Garmond, like he's the main bad guy, right?
Oh, his dad. Yeah. Garmadon. And then you've got
Garmadon.
Pi, Nia, Zane, Cole. I'm spitballing. I don't know Ninjago either. It's not a set that I'm collect. I don't know the show.
Ninjago came in my dark years, and I never picked it up. I was a huge Bionicle fan, but not a Ninjago guy.
Question from one of my favorite usernames for tonight: Vegetable Burrito 07. Yes. What is your favorite Lego movie?
Favorite Lego movie would probably have to be
a TV show as well. It does pack that, such as Clutch Powers and those. That era. Yeah.
No, mine would be Lego Batman. I think they did incredible work on Lego Batman, and I would definitely have to go Lego Batman.
The references alone in that film is worth.
Yeah, yeah. If you're even remotely a Batman or Lego fan. Yeah. That movie is the movie.
Yeah, it's so good. Another question from Vegetable Burrito. I just love saying his name. What's been your favorite Lego helmet or bust? So this new Adults Welcome set with like the Star Wars helmets, Venom, Carnage. What's been your favorite one so far?
Can it be one that's unreleased?
Yes.
Okay. I need to preface. I'm not officially with Lego, so... Like they can't be mad at me, right? They are coming out with a Luke Skywalker's Red 5 helmet, which I think just in the early images that I've seen blows away all of the other helmets. Absolutely that one. I will say that I have built them all. And the only two that I have kept, because I'm not actually a big helmet fan, is I kept Iron Man and I kept the Scout Trooper. So I would probably say of the ones that I have actually hands-on built, the Scout Trooper is the best.
Nice. Because from Ashoka Bricks, favorite Christmas themed set? I like this question because I've not been asked.
I love this question too. Favorite Christmas themed set? Okay. So going really obscure here, it's one of my dream sets. I don't have it. They're very, very exclusive. But there was a Lego store employee special. It was a gift to Lego store employees. And it was a candy cane colored X-Wing.
Oh,
that is hands down my favorite Christmas set. But if we're talking about the ones in the Christmas theme, then I would say that the 2021 Santa's Visit takes the cake for me. Beyond the Elf Clubhouse, beyond all the other ones. And it's kind of confusing because Lego released two Santa Visit sets. One was back in 2013, I think, 2017 maybe. So not that Santa's Visit, but the one that came out this year with the house, Santa slides down the chimney. There's a cookie recipe. I mean, it's the one of the best sets I've ever built. I love the ingenuity behind how the roofs work. Mm-hmm. Love that set. Absolutely beautiful set.
Lovely. Question from the Irish Brick Boy. Apart from the police station, what's your favorite modular set?
Apart from the police station, I just have to ask, did he know that I was a big fan of the police station, or are you saying
everyone knew in the chat, so Victor Briggs knew, and he was like, if he doesn't say the police station, I will leave TikTok. And I was like,
that is so funny.
But that's why I tweaked the question slightly, because otherwise, yeah.
that's awesome. Yeah, so I think, man, that's such a hard question. There is not a modular set that I don't absolutely love. So I'm going to say I loved Assembly Square for what it stood for as kind of a love letter to AFALS and the modular sets. There's a little hint, a little Easter egg to every modular set that had been built up to that point in Assembly Square. Love that. But I think that from a builder's standpoint, the corner garage, the way that they made the triangular build on the corner garage was absolutely ingenious. So from a building standpoint, I would actually say the corner garage, even though that one tends to be the lowest rated or one of the lowest rated sets in that theme, just the way that they gave us to build on that diagonal and make it so sturdy all the way up to the top of the building. It's hard for me to overlook the corner garage from a building standpoint. And I love the colors. I love the color on that one.
And that just leads into a question from Victor Bricks himself, the mod of all mods. He just seems to be everywhere. What's been your favorite building technique in a set? Is it the one in the corner garage, or has there been another set that's really blown you away with a type of technique, an illegal build that you've never used before? Would it be that one, or is there another set?
My favorite technique, my voice keeps fading because I'm turning around looking at all my sets. I think my favorite technique, that I had a Lego awakening on that corner garage set when I looked at the box and I was like, there's no way you can build across the studs like that. So how are they going to do this? I really, really love hinge pieces. So anything that involves hinge pieces, which surprisingly that angle does not involve a lot of hinge pieces. That was what surprised me so much. I also really like when I guess my answer to that is anytime we can build on a diagonal that goes off of the studs below it. So I love when we use those little pin pieces and then the clips that go in, like on the VW bus, the way the door works. That was really cool. Anytime where we can kind of break the 90 degree rule on Lego just totally blows me away. I love that.
Nice. I think for me, I had the very similar moment. One of my favorite modulars is the Palace Cinema. And for me, it was the sign that says Palace. And it was one person in my building putting random white bricks all together, holes, like Technic bricks, and all of a sudden, it spells a word. I was like, all right, someone's really thought about it.
Have you got to build the Daily Bugle yet?
Not yet. No, it's
same,
not one of my
same experience. Yet. Same experience. When you build the words Daily Bugle that go across the top, man, I fell in love. It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Nice. Right. Question from Mr. Boosup or Musup. What was your first Lego set as a child? And what was the first set you purchased as an AFOL? And did you have the same sort of feelings towards the themes that you bought, or had the themes changed?
So my first set that I ever got, I had received some hand-me-downs in like plastic bags that I didn't have instructions for. I didn't really know what to do with. I spent probably an hour or two clicking them together and went, wow, that's pretty neat. And then that was kind of my experience with those. Then I remember that George Lucas re-released the original trilogy, and I went and saw it in theaters. And at the beginning of Phantom Menace, there was this thing for Luke Skywalker's X-Wing. It was the very first set that was ever done in the Star Wars line. And I had to have it. And I asked my mom and I asked my mom and I asked my mom, and she got it for me. And it was just like, that was when my imagination came to life. And I was like, this is it. This is the set. So I'm looking at that set right now. It is, nothing will trump that, that feeling. Fast forward to the first set that I bought for myself. My wife bought me the Iron Man mech for Christmas, but the first set I bought for myself, which is kind of a weird thing because I actually bought it for my daughter, but was the Harry Potter Hogwarts castle, the big one. And yes, I had the exact same emotional response to both those sets. Those are the two sets I will never get rid of. I may get rid of other sets. I may sell off. We may have to, you know, rebuild and all that. But those two sets will always be in my collection.
Nice. Lovely.
Sorry to follow up on that. The Hogwarts set is not even that great of a set. I have a lot of problems with the set itself, but the emotional connection that happened between me and the fam while building that set and Diagon Alley both together, those two sets, that's the foundation of our whole channel. That's the foundation of everything. So while I don't like that it's micro-sized and I don't like that it's super fragile and I don't, you know, there's a million things that I don't like about it. It is super emotionally important to me.
Yeah. And for me, it's the reason I hate Hero Factory, not because of the bit, but because it was like a follow on to Bionicle. But when I worked at Legoland, we used to have a building space, which was called the Hero Factory. And it was just dump bins filled with Bionicle style pieces, Hero Factory, where people could then build their little robot and put it on display. Now, they couldn't take it away from there. They weren't allowed to take them home. They had to leave it for other people to build. Mm. And it was my job in the summer holidays to be the person on the door, checking people, making sure they weren't taking away the sets and the amount of children that was there. Oh, I've bought it from home. This isn't from here. And I'm like, I know you haven't. Please leave it. And you just see their little face just distraught because they've spent an hour building this thing. And now they've had to take it apart and put it back in the dump bin. And it's like, well, now I feel like the bad guy, but I've been told that I've got to do this as part of this job. And it's and then for me, it's always just left that feeling of, I feel like a mean person telling them to take away something that they've built. So for people that are wondering, why do I dislike Hero Factory so much? That's why, because of the emotional memory from it. So,
I get that.
Yeah. Right. Question from Lego Man 101. What's your favorite Technic set?
Well, I haven't built it yet, but I would probably say that the new Batmobile is up there. Really like that Batmobile. Very similar to Dom's Charger, which is another set that I absolutely adore. Really like, in fact, I'm looking at my unopened, Lambo right now. I need to get in and build the Lamborghini. Technic is probably one of my least favorite, themes, not because it's not beautiful and incredible to build. It's because the mistakes are so unforgiving. Like you can make it a mistake and build for the next 5 hours and then go, oh no, I need to do all of that over again. So building it on live and building it in front of the camera is so difficult, you know?
Yeah, working with robotics and Lego education, half of the kit is Technic. And I just, when you're using instructions that aren't Lego designed, when they're fan created and they've done it in a sort of studio style render, and they just kind of
course
not quite at the right angle to see where it goes, and you're then guessing, and then half an hour in the build you're then like, well, I built that wrong, that time to rip it all apart. And it's like Technic, as Victor Bricks knows, it's not my favorite theme ever. I enjoy building with it when it works and you get good instructions, but it is a tricky one.
It's crazy.
I've got two more questions.
All right.
So this is more, so kind of hinting on what we mentioned already. So this is from Simon M28, who's a friend now over from Germany. So we've hit the German market on the channel, which is very exciting.
That's exciting.
He asks, so obviously your very first set that you did on TikTok, that got you into TikTok, was the Iron Man mech. But what inspires you to keep with Lego? Obviously, we've mentioned that it is a tool for connecting with people, but have you ever tried anything else on the channel that's got the same sort of connection power, or is it something that you want to try in the future, or is Lego your thing and you know it works and you're
stuck with it? What an interesting question. So this is also something we've never talked about publicly. So Jamie, you're getting a lot of exclusives here, brother.
Podcast so far.
Oh, that's cool. So over the next, of course, I hate those. Over the next two years, we are going very slow with this, but we will be dropping the builds from our brand. It will just be EarlFam. Same logo, same Lego font. Lego will always be the lifeblood. But we are branching into a bunch of other nerd culture things. Star Wars nerd culture, movie reviews. We're even going to be doing some cooking stuff. So yes and no. It will always be a part. It is something that truly brought the fam together. But I think that we had an analyst come in and kind of tell us where we rank on certain topics. And he found that just based off of the very nature of what Lego is, with all of the different things that Lego encompasses, we also rank very high in Harry Potter and Star Wars and Indiana Jones and, you know, all of these kind of nerd things. So it is going to be changing. We are going to be adding a lot. For those of you who follow the channel, you probably have already seen that we've started doing movie reviews, you know, that sort of thing. I just got my first lightsaber, my first like legit lightsaber. So we're going to be doing unboxings and stuff like that. So yeah, it is going to change and grow. You know, the evolution, I think, of content is such a beautiful thing, especially with the podcast and all of that. It's a wonderful, now changing it from EarlFam builds to EarlFam is easy. One thing we have not decided how we're going to manage is right now our podcast is the Brick Talk Lego Fan Podcast. And it's not, you can't just go Brick Talk Nerd Podcast because it's very tied into Lego. So we'll see what happens there. Things will change. Things are always going to change and grow, and Lego will always be a part of our lifeblood. But you know, the thing is that I think that we have such a strong community and such a beautiful experience that has blessed the Lego community that now I want to see if we can take those same principles and help people in other communities as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's the one thing that I've noticed with a lot of accounts that started, I think, not to pigeonhole the Lego community, a lot of us Lego TikTokers started because there was a pandemic and we wanted something to do because we were a bit bored. And it was a gateway to talk to people that were in the same boat that we were about something that we loved doing and about something that we had already that was accessible at our fingertips, and we found a family of Lego fans that we could all share a pandemic with. Now, Lego TikTok only goes so far to a certain audience. If you have Lego, you will follow certain Lego accounts. But then, as you were saying, there's nothing wrong with doing other things on top of it. Like, I've started doing more, not adult style content, but funnier, tongue-in-cheek, slightly racy style videos, a bit more meme-y. Whereas before, I was very much the Lego teacher. I'm going to tell you about facts. I'm going to talk about education. Done. And that was my brand for months. And it's like, yeah, it's fine. But I was getting bored of it myself because it's like, this isn't who I am. I'm playing a character. And I want to really branch out into more showing people who I am, which is when I then started doing the odd sing-along or a video from my garden with my cats.
Talking about,
it's only natural for once you hit a certain level of not just following, but a certain level of interactions and creativity, people need to try something new. So that's the reason why the podcast is now the Brickheads podcast and not the Brick Educator, a Playful Learning podcast, because it's not about learning anymore. It's about the community behind the Brick Educator and what we call
it. I love that.
So the fact that you're deciding with the Earl fam makes complete sense. But as you mentioned, Lego will still be at the heart, but for the value of Lego, not just here's a brand new set, we're going to build it. It's about putting together communication, creativity, and you show all of that doing a movie, doing a cooking video, because
one
of the values that Lego stands for, it's about coming together and having fun. So
I'll tell you this, Jamie, one of the most precious interactions that I have had from this community is with a woman. I'm going to give her a shout out if you don't mind. Her account is Cece's Pizza, like the restaurant. And she is somebody who will message me almost every day with like some sort of like words of affirmation or, you know, like you can do it, like that type of stuff. And I sent her very first Lego set. She's not even a Lego fan. She doesn't build. She just stumbled on the live one day and never left. And early live, very early live, where we were like all Lego all the time. And so my connection with her has kind of taught me that this isn't actually a Lego community at all. Like, I think she coined a phrase, or maybe it was Chris Dridgeable Plum. You know Dridgy. One of them said, "Came for the Lego, stayed for the family," and I just was like, "Oh my God, how beautiful is that?" Yeah. And I have developed these very real, very human connections with these people who I would have never met before. And now me and Cece talk about God. We talk about friendships. She's huge into musical theater. And it's about our relationship is about all of those things. And we don't even mention Lego, but yet she is a part of this, a huge, massive part of this community. That we have built. And so that kind of opened my eyes to like, this is really about us as growing as humans together in a community. And I think maybe pigeonholing that into Lego specifically may be doing a disservice. Maybe the community is bigger than that. Like incredible, beautiful people like Cece, who, you know, found us by accident. How many people out there like that, you know, who aren't a part of the fam because we're a Lego TikTok, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's being able to connect to complete strangers that, as I said, that they aren't looking for anything in particular. They just stumble upon your account and suddenly find a new friend. And that for me is the power of social media. And the power of TikTok just brings people together. And I would have never met you. And I I happily refer to you as my friend from America that I've met via social media, via TikTok. Mm-hmm. And it's fabulous because I'm almost part of me thankful for the pandemic in a really strange way, because without that, I would have never started this. I would have never met all these amazing people that I have because I was bored one day. I thought, let's jump on TikTok. I've heard about it. What is it? And I found you. I found Lost Man Creations. I found all these amazing people. Yeah. And it's like, I'm just thankful to have this new family that I can talk to and be nerdy with. It's great.
Well, and I feel like that was the thing that honestly, because I'll say this, above everyone that I have, you know, people talk about how I've been able to help the community and help people with, you know, their anxiety and depression. But I will say this, the person who has been helped the most is me. Like these people, I didn't know you could meet friends. Like I thought that people who you met on TikTok were just people that you had on TikTok. I didn't know that these would be people that I would cry with, that I would laugh with, that I would text at 1:30 in the morning when I was having anxiety attacks. Like, I didn't know that these people would become actual human connections. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of entered this so nonchalantly, and I'm so grateful for it, because if I had known this was going to happen, I would never have been brave enough to do it. Would have been brave enough to do it.
The level of pressure you'd add onto yourself, thinking this is what's going to happen, but I need to do it. The fact that you've just flown with it and you've kind of just embraced the change and what's happened, and it's all come out to where you are today. And it's, I agree. It's just, it's this, the feeling of, it's self-help. And it's like you're helping other people whilst they're subconscious, well, not subconscious, but they don't realize how helpful it is for us as creators to be able to help them. And it's like weird cycle of, I help you to help myself, but not in a malicious way. It just helps you connect and know that people are going through the same issues. And at the end of the day, we're all human. We all, like, we put on a face on a TikTok live or on a video, but at the end of the day, it's like, you may be feeling like, I don't want to build Lego today. And people are like, oh, what's the matter? It's like, well, I just don't fancy it. It's just, I'm just not up to it today.
And I think that, you know, the truth is that, and, you know, maybe this is the most apt for TikTok, because we consume such small amounts of information. But, you know, the truth is that when you are microdosing who you are so much, you almost get to give out more of who you actually are. You know, like, on a long form, like YouTube, if you have a YouTube that's established in Lego, it's a really weird thing for you to be like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I'm having a really hard time and I'm struggling with anxiety and depression. But because you do it in one, you know, 60-second increments on TikTok, it allows you to really be who you are more. And I love that. I love that that's the way that social media is going, because, I saw this beautiful TikTok of a woman sitting on the floor, just crying. And she said, you know, she said something like, it can't be a bones day today. I know they said it was a bones day, but it can't be a bones day. And I just remember watching her going like, this is a real person. And guess what? It had like 7 million likes, because finally, I think we're at a place where people really want who we really are. You know, and that was one of the most beautiful TikTok experiences I've ever had, was like, this woman, she's not making me laugh. She's not putting on a face. Like, she's not masking. She's being real, and she is hurt. And I don't know what she's hurt about, but you know what? She had like 5,000 followers as an account with 600,000 plus. I shouted her out at the rooftops. I was like, hey, listen, girl, I'm feeling it too. I don't know. Let's figure out why this isn't a bones, you know, like. And I feel like that's so important. You know, we need more people to be real.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's like the one thing people ask me, like, on not only podcasts, but like, on lives, on videos, it's like, how do I grow as an account? How do I get followers? How do I do this? And it's like, well, number one, don't be on TikTok to get followers, because you're just going to end up disappointed if you're just trying to grow. Number two, be yourself. If you're trying to be someone, you're only lying to yourself, and you're not going to be enjoying the journey. And as you said, every now and again, you just need to do something a bit real to show people, I am still... I have problems. I am struggling as much as any other person, and we're in it together. It's like the last 2 years have been crazy for everyone. I mean, my whole life flipped upside down. I'm living in a new country. I don't have a full-time job. I'm living out of a suitcase still. And I'm only now, next month, going back to the UK after being away for 2 years. I've not seen my family since March last year because of the pandemic and because of the measures and stuff like that. So for me, TikTok has been that little gateway into talking to people back from home, knowing that everyone's still going through the same issues as me. I'm not playing the woe is me card. It's like, we've all had problems. And I think so many influencers, celebrities use the app and they're just constantly positive and doing things because they're going viral and they're doing trends and it works for them. But as you mentioned, a simple video of a lady just showing her emotion really brings it down to earth, just to go, this is an app for people, not for characters. And I think that's what's super important, which leads me to my final question. And my I can tell I don't write handwritten anymore because I can't actually make out what I've written, but it's called Alex. It's called something 2005. I will call him out on it. But he simply asks, who inspires you?
Who inspires me? You know who inspires me the most? And this is kind of a, I wish I could give a less corny answer. When I see people who aren't afraid to ask for help, those people inspire me the most. Like, you know, I could say God and I could say, you know, other TikTokers, I could say actors, all of that, you know, those people, and it's true, they all inspire me, but there is so much strength in asking for help. And the people who do that, I honestly get teary thinking about those people. And I'm just, you know, because that's I'll leave it there. The people who ask for help are the ones who inspire me the most.
It just shows who, that's you as a person. You've created this, you've created the family. It's you are a channel for people that want to just come and be real with other people. Yes, it's a Lego, not branded, but it's Lego is its heart. But what it's for is completely not, you're not selling a toy. You're not selling the product. Yeah. You're using that as a communication with other people that may have never used Lego before, but they see your passion for it. And they are magnetized to your passion. They're attracted to that. And then they find this community of like-minded people who are just happy to be themselves and talk to each other. So, yeah. And that idea of asking for help is you've been in a situation where you've needed it and someone came to your aid. You have helped other people as well. And the fact that that inspires you as well just shows how humble you have taken this whole journey. And I'm just really thankful for knowing you as a person and really grateful to be able to actually talk to you tonight just about this. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely has, Jamie. I love you so much, man. You are such a bright, shiny light, not just in the darkness of this world, but specifically in my life. And I'm grateful that we've met.
Thank you, man. I love you, buddy. It's really lovely to just open up and get to find out more about you as well, which leads me to my very last thing for tonight. What questions did you have for the community? What would you like to know from them? So we'll do this as the interactive segment. Yeah. So if you want to just chuck out some questions and then we'll let them answer it and then I will then read them out in the next episode.
I've been thinking about this the entire conversation. And I've got I got two that I really want to know, okay? And I don't want people not to. So anyone who's hearing this, I don't want you to not answer this because it makes you vulnerable. I want you to embrace this and step into it and go, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable right now. I want to know one thing that you love about yourself. One thing that you love about yourself, absolutely love about yourself. And the other thing that I want to know is if you could be an expert in anything overnight, immediately, now you're an expert, what would you be an expert in?
Fabulous questions. Lovely. Nice. And then question, did you want to ask me anything? I don't normally open up to questions for me because I always like to focus it on the guest. I very rarely like connect with someone so much that I just want to kind of just talk more. So as a little bonus, is there anything that you wanted to talk about specifically? I know I've been asking you lots and lots of questions, but is there anything that you wanted just to chat about?
Interesting. Okay, let's go. Yes, there is. I too just want to keep chatting. Okay, what is one, because underneath everything, I'm truly a cinema buff, okay? So what is one cinematic experience that changed you?
Wow, that's a question. Probably Marley and Me.
I love that movie.
So when he passes away, I have never cried like that in my life.
Really?
It was the one moment where I just let everything go. I think I felt a bit like a champagne bottle. Something had been building up and up and up until that point of just, I was crying for the rest of the film. I was crying on the way home. I was crying at home. And I was like, it was, I know it was a film and it was just someone passing away, which I'd been through with my own dog. So maybe it was partly because of that, just the memory. But something opened me up during that film that suddenly said, it is okay to be vulnerable and it is okay to cry and show your feelings. Because people were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I just need, this has just been building up from something. And I just cried. And the day after, I felt rejuvenated. Like I was ready to take on the world because something had just released from that one film. And it had happened only ever once before, not on the same dramatic effect of I was a state, but in Moulin Rouge, where Ewan McGregor breaks down because Satine passes away. For the first time, I can't remember how old I was. I was probably early teens. And I'm a musical theatre boy. That's what I did before teaching. I did musical theatre for years and years and years. So it was the whole drama of the music, the show, the emotion. And then she died. Ewan was crying and I was done for the night. And I was like, this has broken me. So those two moments, so Moulin Rouge and then Marley and Me, because it gave me that moment to say, it is okay to show your feelings and just to let it out every once in a while. How about yourself? What film was it for you?
Well, so I remember from a technical standpoint, it's so funny looking back on it, but the film Citizen Kane, when you figure out what Rosebud meant, I had this moment where it's funny because it almost felt like, you know, you realize all of a sudden you're sitting next to a poisonous snake, you know, like I had this moment of like, he was in the room the whole time. Oh my God. It moved me so much emotionally. And then it was the moment that I realized that writers and directors and actors can do that. Like that's a power that they have. And I was like, oh wow. Like this is storytelling. And so that one moment sparked my passion for storytelling. And then I think that from there, there has been so many that it's hard to pick just one. But I remember I learned everything I needed to know about friendship when Han shows up and saves Luke on the Death Star in the last final minutes of A New Hope. Mm-hmm. He had left, there was no hope, like, and then he showed up and like, it was this very much like, that's what friends are for sort of feeling. So that was one. I also loved in that moment, Harrison Ford does a very un-Han Solo sort of thing where he does this like, woohoo, like, you know, he's super, super happy about showing up. And like, even though it was, for me, Han Solo in that moment probably should, it should have been like another I know moment where, you know, I love you, I know, you know, but it wasn't. And you could see the excitement in Han Solo. And I just remember being like, I need friends like this. These are the friends that I need. And so I have tried to be that for every friend I've ever met. So that moment really changed me. And then I think the grandiosity, if that's a word, I don't know if that's a word, the scale of Lord of the Rings. When I first saw Lord of the Rings, just the world building, the costumes, it was the first, you know, because like even think back to Star Wars, right? There's a total little bit of forgiveness where, you know, Alec Guinness sparks up his lightsaber and it's very clearly like a jump cut from like, we don't have a blade on this thing to now we do. Like there was a bunch of those little movie, you know, it's a movie. You're going to have those things. Lord of the Rings was the first movie, the first cinematic experience that I had where there was nothing that broke that for me. There was nothing where I was like, oh, never mind. I'm actually watching a movie, not something real in front of me. And I think it, honestly, I think it changed the way that movies have been made. You know, now you look at like the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all these things, and really Lord of the Rings paved the way for all of these incredibly large scale pictures. So I think those three definitely sum it up. I got one more question for you though. Okay.
Yeah. Before you do, can I just make one comment on Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Talking fanboy through and through, I'm reading the Return of the King at the moment. I did the first two during lockdown. Absolutely love it. Love the original trilogy. Now, I don't know what they did with The Hobbit. However, I love the book. Did not care for the films at all. What are your views? I felt it was a bit, it felt like a video game. I don't know.
Here are my views, okay? Very short and sweet. I left about 30 minutes into The Hobbit and did not go back and finish it or watch the other ones. That was my, okay. Filmmakers, even TikTokers, every sort of content creators, we fall into a trap of like, okay, this thing was successful. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to find a way to do that again. And we oftentimes, here's the truth, and I will be completely honest with my own platform. A lot of the times we don't know what made things successful. My followers have told me what makes my page successful. And they're all things that I never would have thought. I bought a really nice camera and I have this really great audio system and I got the Lego pieces on my desk. None of it matters to them. None of that matters. And I feel like what they did with The Hobbit was Peter Jackson said, oh, I got these really nice cameras and I got this really nice, I put the Lego pieces on the desk and I'm going to recreate all of that and completely miss the heart of what was supposed to be. So I don't ever like to talk about anyone else. I don't like to yuck anyone's yum. I don't like to talk bad about art, but it was not for me and I probably will never go and watch it.
Yeah, no, you don't need to. I agree. The first one, the first half hour of the first Hobbit film, and you get the best of in that first bit with and Ian McKellen being Bilbo and Gandalf. I mean, I will give the Riddles in the Dark is a phenomenal scene purely for the acting, and it's very Lord of the Rings esque. The rest of it, it's not for me either.
I will say this: the only other piece that I have watched, because I'm a huge, massive, disgustingly large Benedict Cumberbatch fan, I have watched all of the Smaug scenes. I have gone on YouTube and watched all the Smaug scenes. And I've watched all the behind the scenes of him as Smaug, which is just fantastic.
Like, so good.
Yeah, so good. I love Benedict Cumberbatch like more than anything. So I think But yeah, just was not for me. It was not for me. Yeah. Okay. So my final question for you. Okay. What is one thing you love about yourself, Jamie?
For me, it's also my biggest negative trait at the moment is I always put other people before myself. Sure. And I've always been like that. I've always been very selfless, and I've always gone, well, what do you want to do? I don't mind. I'm easy. What do you want to do? What makes you happy? And me and my wife have got into so many arguments because of that, because she's just like, I don't care what I want. What do you want to do, Jamie? Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't mind. What do you want? Whatever's easier. And the last 2 years, I've really been able to go and put myself first with, look, I want to do this. I want to do a podcast. I want to do TikTok. I want to do Instagram. Yeah. I want to do merchandise because I want to do it and because I want to learn something. I want to try something and I want to learn from my mistakes and I want to fail so I can bounce back from it. And I've not ever put, with the social media stuff, anyone else in the limelight of I'm doing this to prove something to someone. I'm doing it to prove to myself that I can do something. It's really difficult for me to do that because I've always been, as I said, a people pleaser. I've always worked for someone else. I've always had a manager. I've always had a boss. And it's about doing what they want me to do and doing it well. This is the first time where I've been able to go, I'm doing this to prove to myself that I can do something. And at the moment, that's what I'm really proud of, the fact that I've not been doing this for any gratification or doing it for a payment or doing it to prove to someone that it's not a job. This is purely passion for me and as a metric to learn with. And I'm always on about the thing I always teach in the Lego Academy is you never stop learning. And if you think you have, find something new to learn, because the moment you stop learning, it's just because you've fallen out of love with something. To find a new passion. Like literally yesterday, I did a 2.5 hour mead making course online. I was invited by another fellow TikToker who's about to launch a brand new business. He was looking for people to do a test run. I was like, yeah, cracking. I'd like to learn how to make mead. Why not? Great. And literally, when I go back to the UK, I'm getting all my granddad's old wine making kit. I'm going to start making mead because why not? And it's like,
I love that. I want to do it.
So,
I love that.
That's me. And it sounds a little bit selfish if it's coming from, and it's not coming from a selfish place or an egotistical place. It's just I've always been in a position where my purpose has been to please people, whereas now I can do this purely to prove to myself that I can do something. And that's what I'm particularly loving about myself at the moment. How about you?
I think that's beautiful. Me. You know, I pride myself on one really cool thing, and I try not to ever go uber spiritual here, but I had somebody come up and approach me and say that I give Jesus hugs. they said if I was ever, you know, if I was alive on the time when Jesus walked the earth, I imagine his hugs would feel like yours. So I think, you know, just I really pride myself on having the ability to love a person for who they are, no matter what that means, all your flaws, all the terrible things you've done, all the funny things you've done, like you're a human. And I just love you for that. And I express that in my hugs.
I want a mohawk now.
Yeah. We got to do it, man. I'm coming over there.
it's wonderful. I mean, as I said, I love you. It's really nice just to have you as part of my people that I connect with, that I chat with, that I engage with. I mean, unfortunately, because of the time zones, I don't always get to as much as I want to. But we support each other through and through, and it's wonderful. So just really quickly, just to finish off before we say our goodbyes for tonight, it feels like we're breaking up. We're definitely not breaking
up. I know.
Finishing tonight's episode, I'm sure we'll do another one. But is there anyone in particular that you'd like to give a big hello to, a big shout out, that you either that you follow them, that you love their content, or someone in the family, anyone you want to say hello to before we finish?
So big shout outs for me would be my moderator team. Specifically, all of them are incredible, but specifically Dridgy and Will, Jason, Jay Lego, Kylie Bennett has been, she's been there since the beginning, literally like the second or third video. Scott Heron, he's amazing. Not on my mod. And then Louie, got to give a huge shout out to Louie. Not on my mod team. CC's Pizza, Sierra, I absolutely love her to death. She has become one of my dearest friends. My wonderful, beautiful wife, Lindsay. You, Jamie, my absolute brother from another mother. And then, you know, yeah, I think that's it. Those are the people who are on my heart right now. And if I forgot anybody, I'm so sorry.
There's a big family to thank, so I think you're forgiven.
There's a huge aunt, plus the other 630,000 people.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, once again, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to get this episode out hopefully for this weekend. So if you're listening to it on second week of November now, I believe, then you'll be for listeners. As I said, there'll be a video coming up to answer your questions. So the two questions Mo wants to hear from you is, what do you love about yourself? And if you could be an expert in anything overnight, what would it be? So we're really looking forward to hearing your responses, duet, stitch, make a video on TikTok, post it on social media, putting out some of my favorite answers on a bonus episode as well. And Mo, just once again, thank you so much for tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.